Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... Today we discuss the early release of the Cyberverse movies to Canada. Jeremy takes us to business school for the Hasbro Q3 report, and we review Transformers number 36. Today is Friday, November 5th, 2021, and this is episode 258 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that needs a bigger boat. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going? I hope Vangelis did a decent job filling in for me last week, or on Wednesday.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Yes, he did, Jeremy. He did a fine job. No audio issues. It was great. Let's talk Transformers.
So he did a bad job then.
Well, in our world, less audio issues is a good thing.
He was the bizarro Jeremy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Canadian one.
Canadian Jeremy.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks to Vangelis for helping us out at the toy show. We did invite him to come to Alt Mode as well, but scheduling conflicts did not.
That's weird. He just said, fuck comics.
He probably heard I was back and didn't want to be associated with me.
Yeah. No, in fact, he would love to talk about comics. He just did have something else he would much rather be doing tonight.
But we are happy to have Jeremy back because we like Jeremy.
Meh.
Wow.
I'm happy Jeremy's back.
My in-laws are gone, so I can play with my friends again.
You must be so happy.
You could waste time with your friends later. All right. As always, we start the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who support us on Patreon and PayPal. We really appreciate all the help you guys give us. Thank you for continuing to help us out and help us keep the show going. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a Donatrion, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. And that's where you can sign up. And this week, of course, we've got the next episode of Empire of Rust coming. So this is episode 62, The Trial of Zenjury. So we had the uncut version, the uncut bonus episode that came out last week, or this week, I should say, early November 1st. And the regular episode is coming out November 8th, this coming Monday, on the free feeds for everyone to listen. So if you are not a Donatron, you will then have access to the episode and be able to hear it. So listen and see what happens to Magnum. Is he convicted unjustly of a crime he actually did commit? Or we'll see. We'll see what happens. For Donatrions, of course, we've got the final episode of the Empire of Rust Transmissions collaboration, One Flew Over the Swinging Hair. And this is only available to our Donatrions on our Patreon or our PayPal Dropbox. So if you are a Donatron, you get all the episodes of the Empire of Rust Transmission special, the 6-part special, and that is concluding this coming week on Monday, November 8th. So enjoy that. Also, if you are a Donatron, you are automatically entered into our Toy Hacks drawing. So we do a drawing for a $10 gift code from Toy Hacks every month. Thank you to our friends at toyhacks.com for continuing to provide that. And we will be doing the drawing next week. So you have a couple of days to enter. If you're not a Donatron, you can become one and automatically be entered. Or you can send an email to contest@transmissionspodcast.com with a picture of the toy you'd like to get labels for. And that will count as your entry. So all entries must be received by Sunday, November 7th. So you've still got a couple of days if you are listening to this when the show goes up. So enjoy. And good luck. All right, let's start off the show, and we will jump right into our comic review. This week, we are reviewing Transformers number 36, Lord of Misrule, Enigmatic. written by Brian Ruckley, art by Anna Malkova, colors by David Garcia Cruz, letters and design by Jake M. Wood, editor David Marriott, assistant editor Riley Farmer, supervising editor Tom Waltz. So we've got three covers. Cover A is Skywarp sitting on a throne of ashes with the crown askew on his head. And that's art by Anna Malkova. Cover B is Skywarp and Jumpstream trading blows, the two teleporters back and forth. That's by Red Powell. And then the retailer incentive cover is Flatline getting a surprise. And that's by Billy Montfort. Why is Flatline on the cover? Well, that ties directly into the comic, so we'll talk about that in a bit. Jeremy, which of these covers are you liking?
I think cover A is it's the best out of these three. It just it looks like so much fun. You know, Skywarp is just sitting there drunk and just having a blast, and I think it's just with this new characterization of Skywarp, I think it's just it's great, and Anna's art here just shows it all off, and I really enjoy it.
Cool. Daryl, how about you? Which cover are you liking?
I'm going to agree. I really liked cover A. The Skywarp's a really interesting character in this incarnation, and showing him off here as this kind of, I'm going to say prince. I mean, he's got a king's crown on, but it's like his prince of, you know, like chaos is just great. Like, you know, he's just loving it, and it's just it's a really great image.
Yeah, you might even call him the clown prince of chaos.
Maybe.
Yeah, I also am going to pick cover A and make it unanimous. And yeah, this Skywarp injecting this, you know, it's really interesting to see Skywarp being used so effectively in this comic, in this storyline. And I really appreciated that. Like, you know, Skywarp in the past, he's always been kind of characterized as, well, if he actually was a little bit smarter, he'd be really dangerous. But since he had kind of no imagination, he couldn't really use his teleportation powers effectively. Mm-hmm. But in this characterization, he is smart enough and he's doing a really great job. And it's really dangerous. That makes mm-hmm. him a very dangerous character. So that's really mm-hmm. interesting.
And did you notice, I've just kind of noticed it here while I'm looking at the cover, that Anna has signed her name in the, like, the just above the back of the chair. Just, like, it says Malkova 2021, just above the, like, the red seat of the chair part.
Oh, yeah.
I just noticed that while I was kind of staring at the detail on the cover. Very clever, Anna.
I didn't notice that's really that. Cool. That's cool. Yeah. Very nice. Very cool. All right, well, let's get into the story. In the Iacon Med Center, Cyclonus is trying to help speed along his friend Provoke's recovery, but Provoke tells him his help is counterproductive. She needs time on her own to process everything that's happened since she was left offline during the War of the Threefold Spark. Cyclonus apologizes and agrees to leave her alone. As he exits the intensive care ward, the ghosts of his past dead friends, that may or may not be imaginary, console him. Back at the Sea of Rust, the battle for the Enigma of Combination rages. Termagax's spectrosynth drones have joined the fray and are keeping the Autobots from being overrun by Six-Shot's Decepticon forces. On the ground, Springer and Skylynx tell Pyromagna they can't hold out much longer. Pyromagna tells Optimus Prime and Termagax that their time is up and they need to decide on a path forward. Termagax is preoccupied managing her drone army, and one drone in particular. Prime asks what that one drone is doing, and she answers that she's using it to prepare the Enigma of Combination for whatever might happen, and putting it out of everyone's reach if necessary. On the ground, Six-Shot grows increasingly frustrated with the battle and Termagax's minions. He orders Runabout and Runamuck to clear a path, which they do in Demolition Derby style. Six-Shot transforms to wolf mode and charges toward Termagax's house, aiming to end things swiftly. But before he can attack, Skywarp teleports right in front of him, smiling chaotically. Skywarp sees that the Decepticons have not captured the Enigma yet, so he's here to help. Skywarp starts teleporting through Termagax's house, quickly checking every section. He's too fast for the Autobots to track, and it's only a matter of time until he locates the Enigma of Combination in Termagax's stronghold. Termagax, still connected to the drone guarding the Enigma, reports that Skywarp's found it and there's nothing they can do about it now. Prime tells her to delay him and asks her to give him the location now. She tells him the Enigma and Skywarp are two levels below them, and Prime springs into action in a last desperate attempt to stop Skywarp. Optimus Prime finds Skywarp just as he's picking the Enigma up from the remains of Termagax's destroyed drone. Prime tells him to stop, but Skywarp doesn't like being told what to do. He knocks Prime down and teleports away with the Enigma. But Skywarp isn't just going to flee with his prize. He's got to gloat first. He teleports to the top of Termagax's house to get the attention of all the Autobots and Decepticons. But neither side is interested in hearing him talk. They all target him with their weapons. And just as Skywarp thinks he's won, Pyromagna's loyal soldier Jumpstream arrives on the scene. She's still weak from her last teleportation misadventure, but there's no rest for the weary. Pyromagna reluctantly asks her to get the Enigma back from Skywarp. Jumpstream doesn't hesitate to rise to the challenge. Jumpstream and Skywarp have an epic teleportation battle back and forth. In the sky above the battle at the Sea of Rust, they blink in and out of space, each grabbing for the Enigma. Meanwhile, some distance away, Geomotus and Landmine get some readings from the sensors they left at the Sea of Rust. The impermeable rock layer that separates the Sea of Rust and the Rust Worms from infecting the rest of Cybertron is failing. Geomotus is adamant that they have to warn everyone still there to evacuate immediately. Back at the battle, Skywarp gets the upper hand. Jumpstream isn't at full strength and can't match his teleportation skills, but she did succeed in distracting him. Skywarp takes a moment to gloat about his superiority, and he doesn't notice Skylynx coming up on him from behind. Skylynx crushes a surprised Skywarp in his jaws, and he explodes in teleportation energy. The Enigma of Combination drops from his hand, landing on the ground at Decepticon Skytread's feet. Skytread, butthurt over Sixshot taking over his command of the Decepticon army, grabs the Enigma and declares himself back in charge. Sixshot transforms and lands in front of Skytread, ordering him to hand the Enigma over. Skytread refuses, and Sixshot blasts him in the chest. This is also the same moment Optimus Prime receives a comm message from Geomotus. Prime orders Pyromagna to get all the Autobots to evacuate immediately and tells Termagax to get her house to run now. As the Autobots and Termagax withdraw, the land around the Sea of Rust collapses in spectacular fashion. Skytread and the Enigma fall into the Sea of Rust, and Skytread is quickly consumed by the Rust Worms. It appears the Enigma is lost to everyone. Sixshot also orders the Decepticons to retreat as the prize is lost. Miraculously, the Autobots suffered no casualties in the battle, and at least the Enigma is safe from Megatron's clutches for now. There is still a danger, as the Decepticon Rainmaker Seeker, Nova Storm, could possibly survive the Rust Worms and search for the Enigma, but it would take her thousands of cycles to find it. And Nova Storm was knocked offline during the battle. But there are bigger problems now. The Sea of Rust is broken and can now spread to the rest of the planet. This is a massive ecological disaster, and there may not be a way to contain it. Back at the Med Center in Iacon, Chief Dr. Flatline gets a surprise. Provoke has found that Ruckus, one of the comatose patients, has regained consciousness. Flatline is incredulous, since Ruckus was essentially brain dead. There's no way he could come back from that. Provoke and Ruckus decide Flatline can't be allowed to alert anyone else, because Provoke and Ruckus aren't actually Provoke and Ruckus. They're Exarchon, the threefold spark, and they need a third body to inhabit. Black energy shoots out from Provoke's body, consuming Flatline. And that's the end of the comic, to be continued. So I believe this is the conclusion to the Lord of Misrule story arc, which, we talked about the last couple of issues. Have they been more action-packed? I think this one was a really good conclusion to this battle here. When we reviewed issue 35, we talked about how, if Skywarp gets into the mix, what's going to happen? And I think this was a really fun way to conclude it, like having Skywarp and Jumpstream do a teleportation battle. I thought that was cool. Having Skylynx basically just completely wrecked Skywarp at the end. I mean, that was a really cool image, having him, he thinks he's got his victory, and then Skylynx just jumps up from behind and crushes him. I just thought that was really an awesome way to end the story. I kind of hope Skywarp isn't dead, but that was a good way for him to go out. If he's really dead, that was a really cool conclusion there. Yeah, and I just thought it was a really well-done issue. I thought the art was really great. Anna Malkova's art was great. I mentioned Skylynx. I mean, that Skylynx scene of him crushing Skywarp in his jaws, I just thought that was just an awesome image. The images of all the Autobots and Decepticons retreating after the Sea of Rust collapses, I thought that was really great. So yeah, I was really happy with this issue. I hope this is a trend that we're going to see more of these kind of really fast paced action issues continuing. I mean, I'm crossing my fingers, but I was happy with this issue. So Daryl, I know that you're. I hope this was enough action for you, but let me know if it wasn't.
I was quite content with this issue. It was quite a lot of action, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. Actually, starting at the the conversation with Termagax's drones and what they were doing, and him controlling just one specifically because he had the kind of side project of getting the Enigma and dealing with that. But what kind of grabbed me was when Skywarp was introduced to the field here, and with Sixshot knowing him, but what really kind of entertained me a bit was when he finally started teleporting into the house, and every spot that he went to, every person or character he interacted with knew him, and every interaction seemed to be like, oh shit, you know, Skywarp's here. Crap, right, we're in trouble now, you know, oh no, right, Skywarp's on the board, right?
It would be like if the Joker had teleporting powers,
right? So, you know, it's like, you know, you've got, it's just like you feel like you're in the game, you're competing, and then all of a sudden the game's over and you've lost. You're like, what? All right, we can't compete with this guy, right? So I really did like that scene because beginning his kind of teleportation throughout the house was just next level. They weren't prepared for anything like that. They had no protection or any kind of plan for it. Now Jump Stream coming into it was a stroke of luck, you know, for them, because obviously they didn't have any plan because she was off the board at that point. But her coming back was great. The best part of the book for me, though, was when the battle, the Jump Stream, kind of the dog fight between, you know, Skywarp and Jump Stream ended with Skywarp winning, and then him getting just annihilated by Skylynx was fantastic. I loved that, you know, just the ultimate kind of villainy. I've succeeded. You all suck. I've got it. You know, I'm the best. And him just getting just taken out from behind was great. And that, I mean, he exploded, dude. Like, he's dead. Like, that guy is dead. So I like that a lot. The interplay between Skytread and Sixshot was great. You know, well, I've got this, I'm going to take it back to Megatron and then I'll be the leader again. Well, I'm just going to shoot you. So no. Yeah. it all really worked very well. And then with Skytread getting eaten by the worms, the rust worms was gruesome. Right. You know, the more I look at it, I see one of those worms is going through his head. Right. You know, it's quite disturbing if you stop and think about, you know, how he's being torn apart, but,
not the end I'd wish for, lad.
Right. Yeah.
There's a chance it comes back, or he comes back as a zombie or something. I mean,
maybe. I mean,
who knows? The Enigma consumed. Plus those worms.
Yeah, I have a feeling we haven't seen the end of the Enigma here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I did really like the way that this issue kind of broke down there. The part that I get lost with is with the introduction of the threefold spark here at the end. You know how I read these books. I read them once, I put them away, and I'm done with them. So, you know,
I can't remember who is the bot that's the one that's supposed to be alive here. Like, who I see who's getting up off the table. Ruckus, is it? Is this mm-hmm. the one that's sitting up off the table? So are the other two the ones that are, you know, they're conscious? Because one of them's got a hole through their chest. So is only the one that's black, is that the one that's supposed to be, you know, okay?
The one that's black is Flatline. He's the doctor. So he's the doctor okay. in charge of the medical center. So
the Ruckus, green one with the hole in the chest, is that?
That's Provoke. So that was
Cyclonus's friend.
Cyclonus's friend who was right. who they thought was dead, but they found her.
Gotcha. Yes.
Like
okay.
embedded in the Titan of like a few issues ago.
Yes, that's right. So she wasn't dead. So Ruckus is the one that just gets up and he has no spark or something like that, right? So he's
He had barely a spark and no mind pattern. So essentially, brain
gotcha.
Dead.
Okay. So at the end they say that they needed a third. So that third is Flatline.
That's
right?
That's what it looked like. Yeah.
That's the implication. So Provoke, I'm assuming Provoke came out of the Titan that they found with the threefold spark.
Yeah, I believe that's
now has given it to Ruckus and is giving it here to Flatline.
Yeah,
is that the implication? I'm catching up here in real time.
That's exactly right, Daryl, and that's all that information was in this comic. So you are correct.
Hey, look at that.
none of this was foreshadowed before this comic. I mean, other than the fact that Provoke was dead and. Now that she's alive. So now the reveal at the end here is that she's, I guess, not really alive. She was just the host for this threefold spark thing.
What's strange is that I read this comic half an hour ago and didn't get any of that information out of it. So
I guess talking through it helps. I don't know.
It does. Hey, you know,
it helps to have the professor to talk.
That's true.
You know,
yes.
Over the,
you know,
talk about it.
When I say I prefer the smashy smashy to the reedy reedy, that's why. Because I don't get the reedy reedy stuff, you know. Give me the smashy smashy punchy punchy stuff. That's I can understand that. But well, I like, I mean, the book. The art, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, to be fair to the book, it was 18 pages of smashy smashy and 2 pages of reedy reedy. So
right. Yeah,
that should be okay.
I was gonna say I like this book because of the smashy smashy stuff. Yeah. It's the art is drawn, like the book is drawn very well. Anna's art is quite good in this book. There's some great, you know, single panel images of things like the, you know, like I said, with Skytread getting torn apart. And some of the images of when Skytread gets the Enigma, just those panels of the grin on his face, like, I know what I'm going to do with this thing. And just the images of Skywarp getting just destroyed are just fantastically drawn. So, you know, thumbs up, Anna. This was drawn really, really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, I think also the David Garcia Cruz, the colorist, I think he deserves some of the credit, too, just with the... those explosions and everything. So yeah, I mean, everything was really well done. All right, Jeremy, what did you think of this book?
I really enjoyed it too. I really like having this 3-issue arc. So, you know, you have the like continuing threads of the other issues and stuff, but I like having a main plot going through these 3 issues where it's easier to care about what's going on, care about the characters, and it's easier to get action in.
Mm-hmm.
So that really benefited this a lot. And Skywarp was just a fun character throughout this. I don't think he's gone because you do see a little warp text thing as he's getting smashed. Maybe he's like back in the subspace or wherever it was. But this was just, it was a lot of fun. I think the action was well choreographed. The setup pieces for what's coming up, I mean, it didn't really take away from this, the story you're telling in this book. And then the stuff at the end with the threefold spark, I'm really hoping that is not going to be like long and drawn out like the first part of this, you know, new continuity it was. I mean, I'm fine with the threefold spark thing being a long thing, but have it broken up into smaller arcs like this. And I think that'll really serve it well.
Mm-hmm.
The art, like Daryl said, was great. I really liked it. There were, like Daryl was saying, with like some of the single panels that were drawn really well. I really thought like the one where Sixshot was like, oh no, that close up on his face was just like, it was just like a really nice little panel all on its own, you know, just kind of like nicely shadowed and stuff. And it was just, you know, when you see a character like Sixshot just saying, you know, kind of like if he was in another mode, he would be facepalming. It's just like he knows what's coming and he can't do anything about it. But you know, this was just fun all around, I think. My biggest complaint is the sound effects text for the transforming. Like everything else was fine, like all the teleporting ones and the blasts and stuff, but the ones that he uses for transforming, just I can't in my mind kind of hear what that sounds like. Whereas the TCH ones that Tom B. Long would do, I can hear that as ch-ch-ch. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's a little nitpick, but you know, if we're just pulling out nitpicks, I think it's a good issue. So yeah, I'm hoping there are more issues like this going forward.
Yep, I agree. I mean, it does seem like the next issue is going to, they say, war stories. So I hope that means that we're going to get some more action in the next story arc too. So I guess we'll see for next month.
Yeah.
And that is our review of Transformers number 36. So let's move on to Transformers Media News.
All right. In media news this week, we got a couple things. One, we talked about it before, and that is the Transformers The Experience is going to debut in the summer of 2022, so next year. And that's the traveling roadshow that you'll be able to see at a town near you. It's going to travel all of North America. So we don't know exactly where yet. There's been no kind of schedule of where it's going to actually hit. But it's going to hit all of North America and China in 2022. So look for that in an area near you, starting in the summer of 2022. There is a new Transformers stop motion featuring Studio Series 86 figures and War for Cybertron figures. So if you want to take a look at that, it's a hip hop battle featuring Cup. Studio Series Cup, Studio Series Jazz, and Earthrise. Kingdom Tracks. Yes, it's Kingdom Tracks. So, take a look at that. I'm sure Trax probably wins this hip-hop battle because he's got them cranked ankles that he can do all the kind of crazy moves with. So, check out the video there. Jeremy, I'm going to throw it to you because you are a business guy, and I'm sure you know all about this. Because it is the coverage of the Hasbro 2021 Q3 financial call.
I know what's in this post because I hadn't looked at it until I saw it, and I'm like, oh crap, Daryl's gonna want me to talk about this.
Damn right I am.
Transformers revenue's up, which is good. They talked about their mitigation plans for the supply issues that are just affecting everyone in the world right now. Netflix, like this quarter includes Kingdom on Netflix, and they credit some of the Transformers franchise revenue increasing to that, which is great. They also said like the Universal Studios Beijing opened the Transformers Metro Base, which is their first ever Transformers land.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to all take a field trip to Beijing once the pandemic is over.
I'm good with using Patreon funds for that if you guys are. Yeah.
I think it might not be enough, but they also mentioned production on Rise of the Beast continues and releases next summer. So I mean that's pretty much it. Let's see, on the E1 side, they say that they're working on content for 30 properties, and for Transformers, it's Rise of the Beast, the new series for Netflix and Nickelodeon, and they're working on more entertainment content for the Transformers brand. They didn't go into details on that, so. That is it. And obviously they're also now looking for a new CEO because of the recent passing of Brian Goldner.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But I mean, in terms of financials, I think they're doing pretty well right now.
Yeah. Yeah. There has been, I know that they, there's been talk in the toy community in general about, toy shortages for Christmas. And, yeah. I think as far as Hasbro goes, there's not a lot of that going around for Hasbro. So, as far as, you know, it's just supply chain, which, you know, is just a problem for everybody. So it doesn't necessarily mean toys. It means everything. So from your, from paper to toys to, you know, bread and all that kind of stuff. So just supply chain in general is going to be a problem.
I don't think we've mentioned it, but we mentioned briefly the whole Macy's Toys R Us thing in the U.S., but I've been seeing pictures all over of people going into Macy's and seeing a toy section that had just tons of Transformers in.
Oh, wow. Good. So, okay.
So go check out Macy's and, you know, send us pictures.
But is it branded Toys R Us?
I didn't see that. I mean, we talked about that like a month or so ago, that they were going to be doing that, like kind of having store within a store type.
That's right.
Branding. But I'm going to try to check out mine this weekend.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if they've actually got it branded Toys R Us. Because most of those department stores will pick up a toy section for Christmas anyway.
Yeah.
But if it stays and if it's branded Toys R Us, that'd be different. Right on. Thanks, Jeremy. And the last thing that I wanted to mention is, I mean, we all know Canada's great. But is it a land of wonder? Yes. The Cartoon Network here in Canada, Teletoon is what it's called, is getting the series finale of Transformers Cyberverse earlier than you guys in the U.S. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's just the way the cookie crumbles.
I mean, so this is not new. This has been consistent throughout the time that Cyberverse has been out.
Yeah.
Canada has always gotten the shows early. You complain about not
getting stuff early, but with this you have.
It's true. At least this way, this particular one, we're getting it at a decent time. It used to be for the show, it was like 6 a.m. So the season 4 TV movies that are going to finish off the series on Netflix, they're going to be airing or being, you know, uploaded to Netflix on November 21st. But if you're in Canada and have access to Teletoon, then you will be able to see them on November the 7th. That's this weekend, Sunday. So Sunday, November the 7th at 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. respectively. So part one is The Immobilizer. That's at 2 p.m. on the Sunday, November 7th. And The Perfect Decepticon is at 3 p.m. on the 7th. So you can see them a whole 2 weeks earlier than they will premiere on Netflix if you have Teletoon here in Canada.
And Daryl will have them available for everyone on the Transformers Transmissions Discord at 4 p.m. on Sunday, November 5th.
Maybe. But, you know, it's might be tougher to get, but I'll try. But yeah, they're, I'm hoping to have them available, but, they're, you know, it's Transformers on Teletoon. So somebody's got to make them available, but I'll try. Sure, but anyway,
find it if they know how, or they can wait 2 weeks.
Yeah. Just wait 2 weeks. Anyway, that's it for media news.
Okay. And we will finish up the show with convention news.
All right. TFCon is, now that Baltimore is done, they are now promoting the December TFCon Toronto, and we have some guest announcements. Lee Tokar, the voice of Ravage from Beast Wars. He is going to go, Russian Ravage.
Oh, so, right.
Yeah.
Fake so, Ravage, because Ravage never talked.
Ravage was the first character to talk in the first Marvel comic.
And he talked in the More Than Meets the Eye, the three part episode. He was in tape mode talking about Sherman Dam. He was talking.
Listen, or
the rocket fuel, the rocket base, whatever it was.
We don't discuss the pilot. It's nothing really. Nothing in the pilot is canon. It's just, you know, they're working stuff out.
He talked all through like More Than Meets the Eye and stuff.
We don't discuss the comics.
Anyway,
not on this show.
Anyway, he has never been to TFCon before, and this is his first ever one. So he's celebrating the 25th anniversary of Beast Wars. And Daryl, since you are the number one Beast Wars fan and you're going to be there, I expect you to talk to him.
This title's coming back to bite me in the ass.
All right. Well, and then also attending the show will be Jerry Hauser, who is the voice of Junkyard, Sandstorm, and Sweep from G1. And he's also the voice of Sci-Fi and G.I. Joe. So he's going to be attending. And, nice to start getting names that we don't really see a lot. I mean, well, I guess with Lee Takahara, it's his first one. But Jerry Hauser, I've seen before, but, it's not a name I see a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, awesome seeing them, and I'm hoping that, you're able to talk to them, Daryl.
I'd like to.
And we also have, for TFCon Los Angeles, March 11th through 13th, they have announced that tickets are now on sale. So you can go to tfconla.com/tickets to find out. And they do note here that TFCon LA 2019 had 50 guests from the various incarnations of Transformers Media. So I guess that's a hint that they're going to be trying to load up all the guests that are local to LA. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then one more thing that's not in our notes here, but I want to throw it out there. Cybertronic Spree is on tour across North America right now. We haven't really talked about it much, but if you go to their website, or I think their Bandcamp, you can see their tour schedule. They just had to reschedule the Pittsburgh date, so hopefully Charles and Jimmers will be able to make that. But if you want to see them, they're going all across North America. They are Canadian-based, so Canada does get some dates too, I'm sure.
Do they ever come to Toronto?
I don't know.
It's a joke because they're from Toronto.
Oh. No, they don't. But anyway, we never really talk about it, so go check them out. Everyone that I've ever heard that has seen them in concert says it's a great time. Go check them
out. Yeah, Apollo just saw them a few weeks ago in Washington.
Yeah, and she said it was a great show, so there you go.
Yeah, she got hit in the face with a t-shirt.
Yeah. So go see him. Maybe you'll get hit in the face with a t-shirt. But anyway, that is it for convention news.
And that will do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Again, we end the show by always giving a shout out to our masterpiece Donatrions. So thank you to John4x11good, Dinobot Maximize, Demon Tech 82, and Septimus Solvane. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for continuing to support the show at our highest level on Patreon. We really appreciate it, and that's why we give you a shout out on every episode. If you all want to help us out, you can also buy some merchandise from our TeePublic store. That's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you buy anything from TeePublic through our link, that helps out the show and gives us a little bonus. So you can buy our own designs, our own TeePublic shirts, masks, mugs, other merchandise. We've got lots of Transmissions designs there. But if you want to buy anything else from TeePublic through our link, that still helps us out. So transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And that is the end of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Want some cool transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our Transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.